which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is lying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Yorick!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. Hey, what is this dream weaver crap?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This shit sucks.
Are you kidding? It's amazing.
No, it's not.
I like it in an ironic way, okay?
No, I do too, but it does suck.
It's not good. It's not that good. It's not that good.
Dreamweaver. How's it going?
No, it's going good. This is better.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Here we go. Rock around. Okay.
I like how none of what you said matched what they were saying.
Yeah, but you know, it's okay. You know, it's like you just you go with it.
Yeah, you know, I've recently gotten back into, and you're gonna make so much fun of me for it, but
Linkin Park.
No. Worse, I think.
AFI.
No.
Sum 41.
No. Good guess, though. Dave Matthews Band. Now, here's the thing. I want to justify this, though. I was big on Dave Matthews Band before most people know who they were.
Oh, really?
No, and there's a reason for this. And most people are just like, oh, yeah, sure, you fucking were. What a fucking jackass. No, I'm... Seriously. Because they became popular around Charlottesville, Virginia. University of Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Right when they were breaking out, my brother was in attendance there.
Oh.
So, somewhere around third grade... I think 93, maybe 93, 94, so maybe third or fourth grade. My brother sends me a cassette tape. I know a lot of people out there are like, what the fuck are you talking about? It was this thing, you know, don't worry about it. But it was before CDs. He sends me a cassette tape of their first album and was like, these guys are real popular around here. You should check them out. And he sends me this tape of Dave Matthews' first album, Remember Two Things. So I listened to it, and I was like, these guys are pretty good. And then I listened to them for a long time after that. And then they became, like, really popular, and I kind of stopped listening to them.
Keith.
Yeah.
Do you know why the hipster fell in the lake?
No, why?
It's because he tried to go skating before it was cool.
All right. No, you're right. You're fair.
Come on, that's good.
At some point, I want to say somewhere around their fourth album is where I dropped out.
You fell off.
Yeah, but I've been listening to their first couple albums again recently, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good, and I got into it because somebody I work with. Was like, oh yeah, no, I went to see Dave Matthews in Ohio, and it was really great. And they played like deep tracks from like their first album.
Deep tracks,
yeah.
Like, oh god, that's something a Dave Matthews fan would say.
That is something that they would say. And they were like, it was from their first album, Under the Table and Dreaming. And I was like, and here's the thing, I go, that wasn't their first album, though. And she goes, what are you talking about? And I was like,
wasn't that their second album?
If you don't count their EP, that was their second actual album. Because they did Remember Two Things, they had like an EP that was, I think, called Recently, and then I think their next big album, the one that they really broke through on, was Under the Table and Dreaming.
Was that with Crash?
No, that was Crash. The album was called Crash.
Oh. So was that before or after Under the Table and Dreaming?
That was after Under the Table and Dreaming.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's when they really... I really first started hearing about them.
Crash was probably the last. Maybe not. Because I followed them for a few years after that. And then somewhere along the lines, I fell off. Although my sister was like, hey, do you want to go see Dave Matthews at Fenway? And I was like, fuck yeah. When I was living in Boston. So I went and saw him at Fenway. And he did a version of If the River Was Whiskey and I Was a Diving Duck, which was awesome. What?
No, nothing.
What do you want to say? What do you want to say?
No. Go on.
Okay, all right. But anyway, so I explained to this girl that I was just like, well, that wasn't their first album. This other one was their first album. And she was like, I've seen them like four or five times and I never knew that. And I was like, well, it is their first album. And I was like, yeah, my brother, they came up in University of Virginia area. My brother sent me a cassette. And the face that she made when I said cassette was really funny.
Yeah.
Because I think she was born like the year before that album came out. And I was like, oh, that would explain why she's never heard of Remember Two Things.
Right.
But it was good. But I, because of that conversation, actually, is why I started kind of listening to him again the first couple of albums. And I was like...
Now, do you still like him? Or is it more just kind of a... nostalgia thing?
I'm gonna say probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
The thing is, I still like their first couple albums, but I don't know if it's a nostalgia factor or if it's like I actually like their first couple albums.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it was just because of the nostalgia thing or what, but I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the last, like... I've listened to them since, like, some of their newer stuff. And I feel like it was decent. But it doesn't have the same appeal as some of the early stuff. So I'm assuming that's mostly nostalgia stuff.
Yeah. Huh.
Actually, their album Crash was the first one that I ever owned on CD.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first CD I ever got. I got a CD player... 5-disc CD player.
Wow.
Yeah. Sony, because my brother had an internship at Sony, so I got a refurbished Sony 5-disc CD player for my birthday one year.
Man, you were killing the game.
Yeah. Oh, it was so sweet.
Huh.
I could put 5 discs in there, but I only had one.
Ben Franklin is killing the game.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and then it had the tape still, so I could play my cassette still. Oh, it was great.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that was also the year that I got a buzz cut that was really short, and I was really upset about it, because it looked like I was bald.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
Pretty sure that was the same year.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, I was very upset about it. I was really, really upset about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, right. I was legitimately upset about it. I was just like, this cannot stand.
Well, I mean, it's only going to last so long.
Yeah, I was just like, hey, Ma! When are my hands going to grow back, eh? It's fucking bullshit.
Huh. All right. Well, you know, it's definitely not a bad thing to relive some old music. The other day I was listening to some good old Blink 182 on the Spotify, and it's not good, but it's fun.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
It's not amazing, but it's good. It holds up.
So, but.
But yeah, you know what? I think I'm at the point where I'm just not gonna apologize for my enjoyment of Dave Matthews Band.
I'm not looking for you to apologize, but maybe a little bit of recognition that Dave Matthews is. All right, you know what? Not even that. I'm not even gonna get into the quality of the music. Dave Matthews fans, though, are kind of douchey.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I like the fans.
Okay, that's all I'm really...
I really don't think I like the fans, but the people, the band itself, I think I like them. I know I like them.
Yeah.
I am actually thinking about purchasing Remember Two Things and a couple of his early stuff on vinyl.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do.
Wow. Well, what was I going to say? Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely one of those things with it's the fans. The fans annoy me more than the actual band does. It's kind of like, Sublime.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Sublime. I don't really like Sublime, but I don't have a problem with Sublime, but I don't like Sublime fans. They seem really too into themselves and into just, they're just kind of douchey. That annoys me far more than the band themselves.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
There's a few bands like that. But that was the best one I could think of.
Where, like, their whole identity is the band?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, that's kind of, like, they sum themselves up by, like, their liking for the band.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of lame.
I'm totally fine with if you're making a playlist and you're just like, I'm going to have a cookout, I'm going to have a bunch of friends over, you put a little Sublime in there, totally good with that. That would elevate you in my friend list if you just put a little Sublime in there.
It would not elevate anyone in my friend list, and I don't think it would necessarily decrease you in my friend list, but, it wouldn't do anything for me because I could care less about the existence of Sublime.
It would bump you up a notch because I'd be like, that's a solid pick. That's a solid pick for just putting in one song in there. I like it.
All right. I can accept it.
But now if you were like, hey man, come into my man cave, check this place out. It's really nice. And then you got a Sublime poster in there. I'm like, I don't know, man. They're not poster worthy. They're not at the level where you should have a poster of them in your cave.
And are they also wearing a Sublime T-shirt?
No, but they do own them. They do own them.
Yeah, that's... I can't imagine ever buying a Sublime T-shirt or poster, and I'm not sure that I'm friends with anyone who really would.
I would never buy Sublime on vinyl.
No, I certainly wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't pay for it.
But anyway,
that's all right. But anyways,
where were we at in all this?
I don't know.
Okay. So
we got into a thing about douchey bands because you started talking about.
I started talking about Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
And I started listening to it again.
Yeah.
All right. So am I an asshole for liking Dave Matthews?
I don't think you're an asshole if as long as you recognize the fact that they're douchey.
I see. The thing is, I don't think they're douchey. I think their fans are
okay,
douchey.
Okay, no. Not that they're douchey. That liking them is douchey.
That their fan base is douchey and has made it. Yeah.
As long as you can recognize that, I can accept it. It's like knowing that you're a nerd, or knowing that knowing that like the shit you do is lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, here's the thing. It's very, their music is very mid-90s. And if you still like their music at this point, it seems very douchey because you're liking very mid-90s music.
I knew a kid, right? And he... Oh, God, this guy.
Oh, boy.
He had a Dave Matthews cover band. And the name of the band...
Oh my... Hang on. Was it a play on Dave Matthews, or was it a play on one of the songs?
No. I don't know. See, the thing is, it wasn't a play on the name Dave Matthews. I don't know if this is a play on one of the songs, though.
Okay.
The name of the band was called Cherrywood.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
So I don't know. I mean, if that's a play on anything. But yeah, the name of the band was called Cherrywood, and they were a Dave Matthews cover band.
If I ever make a movie, I am 100% going to put in a Dave Matthews cover band and name them something shitty.
Yeah.
I just like the early 80s Billy Joel cover band in Step Brothers. That is what I'm going to do. I don't know. I can't figure out why it's called Cherrywood. I just did a search. Cherrywood Dave Matthews Band. You feel like that would come up with something? Nothing. Like, it pulls stuff up, but it's all like, oh, it was made by Cherry Lane Music, and composer was Mark Wood, and maybe that's what they were going for, but that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man.
It doesn't make it. I was hoping it was like, Tripping Billy was their name, or like,
what would that be?
Well, Tripping Billy's is one of their like singles, so I was thinking like Tripping Billy's. Maybe they're going for like, and they just said Tripping Billy. Maybe they would call it Ants Marching was another big one, so maybe they would just call it like Ants Walking. I don't know, like, maybe it's like Ants Walking.
What about,
and it's a cover band, and they cover Dave Matthews songs as Christopher Walken, and they're just like, he wakes up in the morning, does teeth, bite to eat.
Every time I try to say, what about the gone. Band Between?
The Band Between would be another good name for that.
Yeah.
Band Into Me?
Oh, yeah. Should be Douche Into Me. But anyways, they were a fucking, yeah. A cover band. A fucking cover band. For the fucking Dave Matthews band. Called Cherrywood.
I just always thought
that was the douchiest thing I'd ever heard of.
Cherrywood is a terrible, terrible name. So Much to Play would be a good one, too. So Much to Say.
All right. I've had enough.
I don't know if you have.
My vagina is sore from all this douchiness.
You sure you don't want me to come up with more names for?
No, I'm done.
But hang on, let me pull up the list of their singles.
No,
it's got to be based on a single.
No, I don't want to hear it. No, I'm done. They're douchey.
So okay, so
no.
What would you say that you could go with? What would you play?
No, we're done. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Jimmy Thing.
I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna hang up the Skype call.
Why would you do that?
Because
I'm just saying
that there's other better options.
That there's better options than Cherrywood.
Yeah,
I feel like like you got to go with one of their first big singles, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, I guess I don't know. Sure. I agree.
So anyway.
So. How did we even get on that? We started talking about...
I was just...
Oh, you're just saying that you started listening to
Dave Matthews. Yeah, I just said that I started listening to Dave Matthews Band. But really, I just want to say that the walk-in... I think that's a good idea. I think we should form a band that does Dave Matthews Band covers as Christopher Walken. I think that's a solid idea.
I mean, that's like,
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's like the same thing as the that's like the William Shatner spoken word albums.
Yeah, and those are big.
Well, they were. I don't even know if they were. It was funny.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, is that it?
No, he's still on the pause.
He's still on the pause?
he's still pausing.
It's like a Family Guy joke.
Packed my bags last night. Pre-flight.
Exactly. I always thought that was
zero hour
to say. Pre-flight. Of course you pack your bags. What, are you packing them on the flight?
Pack my bags. In a rush. Woke up late. No time to brush.
See, I would change.
And I'm going to be high as a kite by then.
So,
and it's gonna be. God, sorry, God. I love that Rocket Man though. So good. William Shatner's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I know, but So I don't know if there's anything else about the bands. And the douche.
What bands? We talked about one band.
Sort of a couple.
Did we talk about a couple?
I mentioned Blink-182, but we really only talked
about... talked about Dave Matthews and William Shatner.
Yeah,
William Shatner's not a band.
No, he's not.
He's a force to be reckoned with, really what he is.
So, up, Keith? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Yeah, what have you been doing? Just hanging out?
Just hanging out. You know, they say, sun's out, dick's out.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you want to start with an article I saw earlier today?
I would love to start with that.
Okay.
Does it involve dicks and penises?
Sort of.
Okay, alright.
It's along those lines.
Alright. A couple of vaginas thrown in there for good measure.
Yeah, so I'm going to I'm gonna bury the lead here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna start off with, and I just as a aside, I have not read this article, so I do not know.
You read the headline and went, "This is perfect," and then you left it? Okay.
So it starts off, the Chinese Northeast is flooded with meth from North Korea. I didn't know North Korea was such a producer of meth, but...
Well, they had a lot of allergies there, and then they were like, what are we going to do with all this Claritin D? And then they decided to make meth.
But with crackdowns from authorities, Chinese chemists are now cooking up their own batches. Many of the raw ingredients are produced domestically. I think this is another – this article is from Vice. This might – is Motherboard? Is that a – is that another sort of like online news thing, or is that like a some sort of like online magazine?
It might be. I've never heard of it, though.
It says Motherboard previously reported on the state of meth in China. Just like in the U.S., there are plenty of open spaces in rural areas that are perfect for setting up makeshift meth labs. Labor-intensive country, blue-collar workers, need to work long hours, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Right. We all understand why meth might be a thing. And it just kind of goes on. It says, it goes on to say that one place where meth is sold a lot is like karaoke bars.
Nice.
Yeah. But also it says, some karaoke bars are fronts for brothels. And since users,
since users
insist that meth heightens their sexual arousal and strengthens their stamina, it's no surprise that the drug has made their way into the escort and entertainment industries. Managers make extra cash by charging Johns for narcotic voyeurism. Apparently, some men get off by watching young girls do meth.
What?
It says, even though the meth karaoke girls of China undergo severe health risks to make money, they are not compensated well. This girl's name, I believe, is Jing Jing.
Jing Jing?
J-I-N-G, J-I-N-G.
Okay, so Jing Jing.
Jing Jing is from an agricultural village in a province on the eastern coast of China. She had dreams of living in a major city. After she turned 17, she made it to Shanghai, where a friend from her hometown helped her to land a job at a legitimate massage parlor.
Benjamin Franklin is killing the game!
Yeah, but she wasn't making that much money, and the bills were stacking up, so she moonlighted as a karaoke hostess at night. It wasn't long until her manager was pimping her out as a meth girl. And once she was hooked, the karaoke lounge was the only place where she knew she could get meth.
End of story.
So, she, along with other girls, are at these bars, these karaoke bars. They're smoking meth. And there are men who pay to just watch them smoke meth.
I don't get it. I don't. The whole thing is just watching them smoke meth.
Yeah.
And that's a turn on for them.
Yeah.
Now, is there sex involved, or is there, are they like jerking off while watching? Like, is it like the divider goes up and they watch do meth and they just like crank their dicks?
I'm not sure if they can crank it right there or if like they watch it and put it in the bank.
Okay.
So
they go home and they're just like, hello, honey, I gotta go take a shower. And they're just like, oh, she did meth in front of me. Ah.
Yeah. I love the voice. the weirdo Asian guy voice.
And the sound of him coming.
He makes the same sound when he's depositing cans back at the return. It says, this is kind of an interesting note. It says, Jing Jing said she was eventually fired for not looking pretty enough, even though her boss
was doing meth.
Well, right. It says, even though her boss was the culprit who introduced her to meth, he blamed her for losing weight and not keeping up with her appearance. Mm-hmm. What man would want you? He asked.
Woo. Fat person.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't. Sadly, she wasn't.
Oh, good for you!
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, that's so weird that it's... I thought you were going to be like... So it turned into like an orgy thing, and like they were doing meth, and then guys started coming in and fucking them, and they're just like, no, they just like to watch women do meth.
Yeah. So it says,
all Asian men are just really big Breaking Bad fans.
Basically.
And it's just like, ah, Walter White, get you fucked up.
There was a instance here. It says that Jing Jing was arrested in a sting operation.
Oh, no.
One of Jing Jing's old colleagues from the karaoke bar told me that a police officer posed as a John and enticed her to use meth on camera. Then asked her to meet him at a hotel for sexual services. Okay. All right. So there was some sort of a possible...
Okay, so there's some kind of prostitution angle to all this.
When Jing Jing showed up, she was arrested. Responding to my inquiries on the phone, a police officer said, we can't talk about this, but if she was using ICE, as they call it, then she is a criminal. That sounds like a very Chinese government thing to say. It's just, it's very open and shut, you know? We can't talk about criminals.
We can't talk about criminals. Are you sure? Yes. Yeah. We cannot talk about criminals.
They said that they were unable to confirm whether or not Jing Jing was actually charged with a crime.
Ah, okay.
Poor
Jing Jing.
Yeah. So it's... very interesting. It's one of those situations where and we come across, like, we talk about sex, and we talk about like what gets people off, and also it's a weird shit all the time, but I think it's funny when we come across these things that we just don't understand why anyone would get off on it. Like the smoking of meth.
That's such a weird thing to, yeah.
Now
are they just like, oh, it's just like a dick.
I don't know.
My dick is the meth and she's smoking it.
But why wouldn't you just want to see her perform fellatio? I mean, you might as well just watch porno.
Wow, that was very, like... Why wouldn't you just see her do fellatio? Like, what?
I know. It's a weird thing to say.
I don't want you to see her do fellatio.
It doesn't make much sense to me, but... Well, I have heard people say before, and that watching a girl smoke weed was hot.
I have heard
that. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Stated before?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Because I've heard that not for a while, but I think I remember as a kid when I was young. Hearing one of my peers say that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that there is porn specifically related to women smoking during sex.
Yes. And I have I've seen
jerked off to it.
No. Well, I don't
maybe.
Know. I don't think so. But I have seen
possibly by
the smoking sex where they smoke like the whole time.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the kind of angle that remember that photo shoot that Lindsay Lohan did? It was like a video, right? And it was like
I literally have no idea what you're about to tell me.
She did some photo shoot. You should look it up. And actually I think there's a video. And
what do I look up?
She's like smoking the whole time.
Lindsay Lohan smoking? Is that what I do?
You're gonna get a lot of like garbage of just like her in the street. But it's like Lindsay Lohan like photo shoot, and she looks like really ragged, and there's like another guy and a girl. I think she shows her tits in it, and like they're just ripping butts the whole time.
It's called Sexy Smoking Scene, but I think this is really just clips from The Kenyans.
Yeah, all right. Now, this was like a specific, like, shoot.
Oh, what the fuck? Unfortunately,
it's not like when Lindsay Lohan was, like, smoking fucking hot. It's like after she started, like, her downward spiral.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I can't find one that fits the description that you're giving me.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm not concerned. But
she just looks ugh.
Oh yeah, she what aged like 20 years in like 4.
What happened to her?
God, remember her like Mean Girls era?
She was cute, Mean Girls.
Cute. She was fucking. I'm making jerking motions.
Okay.
If you couldn't tell. What was the Asian guy's sound when he comes?
I don't remember now.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so, something close to that.
Yeah. So, so there's a lot of weirdos out there.
This is from Millersville, Pennsylvania. I don't know where that is. I don't think it's close to me because I've never heard of it before. But police have charged a man with trespassing, public drunkenness, and indecent exposure after he was caught on a neighbor's Pennsylvania farm in the nude drinking beer among pigs.
Drinking beer amongst pigs.
Yes. Police in Manor Township, Lancaster County, say 64-year-old Larry Henry told them, "I just like pigs," when they found him in the hog barn June 26th at about 10:15 p.m.
Huh.
Henry faces a preliminary hearing August 4th. His defense attorney didn't immediately return a call for comment Wednesday. Arrest papers show Henry had been banned from the farm since he got caught trespassing 4 years ago.
Oh, boy.
Police say Henry smelled of alcohol and acknowledged drinking six-pack of beer while hanging out with the hogs. He's like, no, we're just hanging out.
Wait, does the article really say hanging out with the hogs?
Yeah, while hanging out with the hogs.
Oh, that's great.
No, we're just hanging out. We're talking about the big game on Sunday. We're talking about McCutcheon's two-run homer. And, you know, we're just having a good time. Just shooting the shit, you know what I mean? Pigs love shit, right? What do you mean, why is my dick out? I just, you know, they're naked. I'm naked. It makes them more comfortable, but... Hey, why are you walking away?
What's wrong with you?
What's going on? Police say the brand of beer was in keeping with the overall theme. Henry was drinking Hams.
Oh, man. This guy's fucked.
I've never heard of Hams. Is that...
What is no, that? No, I've heard of pork slap.
Hams beer. Please tell me it's a... Please tell me it's a beer promoted by John Hamm.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
No,
it's got a little bit of whiskey in it.
The Theo Hams Brewing Company, just a little bit of Canadian Club.
Yeah.
The Theo Hams Brewing Company is the name of an American brewing company in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
As Hams expanded, breweries were also acquired in other cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Houston, and Baltimore.
End of story.
The Theodore Ham Brewing Company was established in 1865 when Theodore Ham, a German immigrant, inherited the Excelsior Brewery.
Is it two M's?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. His son, William, and grandson, William Jr., inherited the... How does that work? William and William Jr.? Can you do that in the same lineage?
What? Yeah.
His grandson. I thought it said his other son. Uh-oh. Yeah, no, that works. Inherited the operation in 1903. During Prohibition, the company survived by producing soft drinks and other food products, enabling it to expand rapidly through acquisitions after the repeal of Prohibition in 1933. In 1968, the company was acquired by Hublian, which sold it to Olympia Brewing Company. Pabst then purchased Olympia, along with Hams, in 1983. Miller Brewing acquired the brand in 1999. Jesus. Miller was later purchased by South African breweries, and the name was changed to SAB Miller. Subsequently, SAB Miller formed a joint venture combining their U.S. and Puerto Rican assets with those of Molson Coors to form Miller Coors, the current owner and brewer of the Hams brand. Miller Coors now produces three Hams beers, Premium, Golden Draft, and Special Light.
Wow.
I bet this
special
guy...
Special Light?
I bet this guy was drinking Special Light.
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
Oh, I hope he was.
Wow.
Oh, God. Let's see. There's a jingle. The original jingle with lyrics by Neil Richard Heberhart and music by Charles Wakefield Cadman was derived from a 1909 art song entitled From the Land of Sky Blue Water. It was first used on radio and later television. It started with tom-tom drums, then a chorus intoned. From the land of sky blue waters comes the water best for brewing. Ham's the beer refreshing. Ham the beer's refreshing. Ham's.
That's the song?
That's the song, eh?
It sucks.
Let's see. In popular culture, in Minnesota after World War II and into the mid-century, Ham's was a common synonym for beer, as in... It's been a long day. Let's get a Hams. Or packing for a summer picnic. Don't forget to put in the Hams.
I didn't realize it was so... I like that one, actually. I didn't realize it was so so big.
William Ham Jr. was kidnapped in St. Paul by Barker Karpus Gang in 1930s. Oh boy, this is... Why is there not more on this thing? Why can't I find more on this? This sounds fascinating. The subsequent investigation by the FBI employed the first attempt at raising latent fingerprints from paper ransom notes.
Oh, wow.
That sounds awesome. Why is this not... Okay, we're going to go down that rabbit hole in a minute. In the David Frizzle song, I'm going to hire a wino to decorate our home.
What? I'm going to hire a wino to decorate our home?
Yes.
That's a song?
Yeah, apparently.
Holy shit.
I'm going to decorate our home thanks to a wino. The wife mentions the Hams bear in the lyrics, referring to her Hams... bear clock used in many bars. When the Hams bear says it's closing time, you won't have far to crawl. All right.
Sure. I guess because you're so hammered.
Ooh, Robert Redford's character, Bill McKay, and his father, John McKay, drink hams in the political drama The Candidate. Okay. Sean Penn's character, Jeff Spicoli, is seen drinking a hams while driving a Camaro in the 1982 teen comedy Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Really?
Apparently so. Because
I remember him drinking the beer.
John Cusack's character, Robert Gordon, drinks hams almost exclusively in the 2000 comedy High Fidelity. I'm going to have to watch that and check that out. Bill Paxton character. It's game over, man. Drinks hams beer in the 2001 thriller Frailty. And hams beer appears in the 2014 film Wild. Hams beer is a legitimate thing.
I guess so. I had no idea.
Oh, boy. All right. So this guy was drinking... He was drinking, like, the... He was drinking the legit beer. Maybe he was inspired by seeing this video of a New Jersey woman going shopping naked last week. I doubt that's what inspired him.
Yeah, I'm sure that had nothing to do with it.
Oh, that was the woman that walked into the Wawa.
She walked into a Wawa naked.
She walked into a Wawa naked.
Nice. Good for her.
After about 2 minutes in the store, located about 60 miles northeast of Philadelphia, the woman left empty-handed.
What a weirdo.
And then that's actually the end of the article.
Huh.
They were just like, maybe he was inspired by this guy.
And then that's it. They got nothing.
And then
they
were just like, we got nothing. We got nothing. I'm gonna search Naked Man Pigs, Pennsylvania, and see if anything more interesting comes up. Let's see. I just like pegs. Oh, this is the New York Post. This has to be good.
You should get Google Image Search that search.
Nope. Same thing. Just a lot of pictures of pigs, really, is what comes up.
Yeah. The AP didn't pick up that article?
So why did he ignore the ban? I just like pigs. Henry is now out of jail on a $25,000 unsecured bail. He's due back in court later this month on charges of indecent exposure, criminal trespassing, defiant trespass, and public drunkenness.
Oh, well, because he was already banned.
Yeah. This article is interesting because it goes, officers got a call about a possible trespasser at the Hog Barn on June 26th. When police entered the barn, they found Henry inside naked with several market weight pigs. I don't know what that means.
Market weight? Like they were ready to like be sold, maybe?
Yeah, or ready to get fucked.
Or that?
In the pig world, we don't go by age, we go by weight.
That's kind of fucked.
But
I get it.
You know what I really hate? I really hate this Huffington Post page about it.
Well, I mean,
And let me tell you exactly why. Let's get to the... Henry 64 told cops that he finished a six-pack of fittingly Hams beer during his pig party. Henry was really very familiar with the farm where he chose to get to go high on the hog. He was banned from the property after a 2011 trespassing incident. Blah, 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 blah. He's due in court later this month. LancasterOnline.com reports. This is the closing line on HuffingtonPost.com. The hogs were unavailable for comment.
I mean, I expect nothing less than a douchey comment like that from the Huffington Post, but that sucks.
The hogs were unavailable for comment.
Oh, that's it for me.
That's it for us. Good night, everybody. It's been a great time. We will explore why the Barker Carpus gang kidnapped the Hams Brewing guy another time. And that's really all we need to know. You got anything to add, or are we good?
I guess after that Huffington Post comment, I think I'm just out of commission.
Yeah, out of commission.
Yeah, you know, I'm not getting any more. I'm not making any more commission.
All right, well, that's it for Butcher Wrong. Thank you for listening. I'm Keith Borrello.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember, everyone, no regrets, and the hogs were unavailable for comment. Outro.